Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks. This is Chris Brown, your host of Chris Brown's True Stewardship, where we talk about your life and we talk about your money. We are reclaiming stewardship. Much more about that at stewardship.com. Again, that's stewardship.com, where we have a tremendous amount of resources that are there for you. We've got articles, we've got books, we've got classes. We want to partner with you. We want to equip you. We want to encourage you. We want to transfer hope to you. Whatever your situation is, we want to help you out. So we can help you right here at Chris Brown's True Stewardship, or we can help you out at stewardship.com, or both. This is a call-in show where we have conversations about your life and your money. The call-in number is 866-357-3283. Again, it's 866-357-3283. And if you don't feel comfortable calling in, that's completely fine. You can email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Again, that's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Our first call comes in from Orlando. This is Michael. Michael, how are you?
I'm good. Yourself?
Oh, I'm better every day. How can I serve you?
So I have a question. Dealing with a little bit of crossroads here. So what I have is I was previously married. I'm in a new relationship now. We have a new baby. Now, my last relationship was very, very volatile, so it was something I had to get out of. I had since got custody of my son. I have 100% custody of him. So my question is now, I have a lot of old debt from that stuff, the legal stuff that I had to deal with the custody battle, get my son out of there. And we have a house that's now in foreclosure. Now back to work, working back in construction, and I'm trying to figure out what to do with my past debt. I got about $30,000 in credit card debt, and like I said, the house is in foreclosure. But now, you know, I'm in a new family, a new relationship, everything's going great. I'm just trying to figure out what to do next with my resources, where to put them, where to focus my energy. Should I bankrupt the stuff from my past? Just, you know, I'm not really sure where to focus my energy.
Have you pulled up a credit report lately?
No, I'm afraid to.
Well, I would pull it up just because, you've got to make sure that knowledge is power. You got to make sure you know what you're dealing with. You got to know how much is exactly what is in your name and what's not. So make sure you know that. And as soon as you know everything's on the table, you want to list those, whether they're old debts or new debts, it doesn't matter.
Right.
They're all under your name. List them in order, smallest to biggest. So this whole idea of old debt and new marriage and old marriage, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Just make one big list, smallest to biggest, regardless of interest rate. It's called a debt snowball, and start attacking the smallest one first. That's it in a nutshell. What's your current age, Michael?
I'm going to be 40 next week.
Okay. And what's your income?
$55,000 a year.
Okay. And what's the total amount of the old debt?
I'd say 30 to 35.
Okay. And the amount of the new debt?
Actually, it's just like the lawyer stuff, really. I think I owe only about $4,500 more. And then it's my car, stuff like that. She owes about $7,000 on that. She got a couple little credit cards that come up to be about $2,000. So
okay.
It's really not a lot.
Do you feel like there's a behavior change that needs to happen with her, or has she already turned the corner?
No, she's, we've been talking about it the past month, and I asked her if she would, be okay if we started doing things a little differently, and she was okay. She liked the idea of, having a little bit of money left over. I'd heard the radio show the other day, Dave Ramsey, I think.
Yeah.
And he had mentioned $1,000, emergency fund. So as soon as I put the $1,000 in the bank, the brakes went out.
So
we had to pay for that, but then I got the emergency back up. And then I had another car problem, but I'm able to cash flow that and still keep the $1,000. But, you know, right now, that's what I'm trying to figure out. With that $1,000 aside, now the income's starting to come in. I have to pay my lawyer once a week, but, I'm trying to get that down. So that's about $300 a week. Like I said, I should be done with that by the middle of December. But even with that debt, I'm still able to wring out, between my income and her income, about $1,000 a month after, because, we're living on beans and rice, basically.
Yeah, right. Well, that's how you get ahead.
We're doing good, yeah. We've got a little apartment that are on our family's property. We pay, everything's included. It's really cheap. So we're okay.
Okay.
As far as stuff like that goes, I'm just trying to figure out, do I focus on getting her stuff out of debt to free up some more money to then go and attack it? Plus the issue of her having to deal with my past stuff is kind of, I haven't really brought it up to her yet. It's not really a conversation we've had about, hey, by the way, I have to pay off all this stuff while we're trying to, move ahead in our lives.
Yeah, well, it sounds like your small stuff is the most recent. So, I mean, you take care of that smaller stuff first. That's your more recent stuff. And that's the stuff that's going to affect your cash flow now. And and then, between now and the time you get that paid off, you still got some time to make sure the timing's right to open that stuff up with her. Obviously, proactive communication before you got married would have been best, but it's too late. So that's really all it is, man. Smallest to biggest. It's called the debt snowball. And what you heard on Dave's show was the $1,000 emergency fund, which obviously that's already come up good for you. You had a $1,000 emergency fund and you had an emergency and it worked. That's what it's there for.
Yep.
So you didn't have to go further in the debt. Now, what that $1,000 emergency fund is it's baby step one of 7 baby steps. And they go through the baby steps in what we call Financial Peace University. And it's based on the New York Times bestselling book that Dave wrote years ago called The Total Money Makeover. And we've sold 5 million copies of it. And Michael, I want to give it to you. I'm going to give you Total Money Makeover because you need it. You need it. And this is where you're about to go. You're about to dig through this hole and you're going to, come out the other side and you're going to be winning because you're going to do exactly what's in this book. And it starts with that $1,000 emergency fund, then your debt snowball, and it breaks that debt snowball down. And everyone says they have a unique situation. There's all sorts of unique situations, but we've been doing this for a very long time. And the debt snowball, smallest to biggest, regardless of interest rate, always works. And so that's what I want you to do. And, and we're going to give you that total money makeover. Just remember, she needs to stop spending everything. Stop spending everything that you make. Proverbs 21:20 says, in the house of the wise are choice food and oil, which means you save. But the tail end of that verse says, but fools gulp theirs down. And the bad news is, we always seem to remember that we want to lose weight after we eat 6 cookies, right? So you're not unique in that. Don't be condemned. Don't feel condemned and don't feel like you're being pointed at. You're in the same boat as most Americans. And we just got to, whoever's the most aggressive on getting out is going to get out and they'll experience financial freedom. So Michael, stay on the line. And Amanda, our associate producer, is going to hook you up with the Total Money Makeover. Okay?
Wonderful. Thanks for your help.
All right. Thank you. Now, I've told you several times that you can call in, but you can also email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. This email comes in from Jordan. Jordan says, for probably the first 10 to 15 years of my life, my great-grandma bought savings bonds for me and my cousins. They ranged from $50 to $100 each, and I think I got one for every Christmas for several years and maybe even a few birthdays. I'm almost 30 now and have never touched any of them. Are those just worth the $50 or $100 each or more? Is it worth digging them out and cashing them in? If so, how do I go about doing that? I love listening to your show. You're doing a wonderful ministry. Thank you for all your insight. The answer is yes, I would cash them in. All you got to do is go down to your bank and cash them in. Actually, I just recently did this with mine. I had a bunch of them in a file, similar situation, grandma, great grandma, for both of our families, my wife's family, my family, we both had a ton of them. And a lot of them have given them to our kids. We cashed them all in. Some of them we got slightly below face value. Some we got face value and some we got a little bit more than face value. But the whatever it was, $400 or $500, we put it into mutual funds so that it can perform much better than those silly savings bonds. So that's what I would do. If you are still in your debt snowball, you want to apply it to your debt snowball. And if you're in baby step three and you're saving, you want to put it there. But if you're beyond all that and you're investing, I'll just put it into mutual funds, or, you know, apply it towards your Roth IRA contribution for the current year. But yep, that's what you do. Those, you know, that last generation just loves those savings bonds, but they do not perform at all. Our next call comes in from Louisville, Kentucky. This is Carl. Carl, how are you?
Chris, I am great. Thanks so much for taking my call, sir.
Oh, I'm honored. How can I serve you?
Well, I am 30 years old and married. My wife is also 30, and we are on baby step 7.
Whoa.
We just, thanks to Dave's wisdom that we've been following since we popped out of college about 8 years ago, we've prospered thanks to the grace of God and listening to Dave.
That's awesome.
And, so we're really excited. We paid off our house in June.
Wow.
And so for the past few months, we've been just kind of being disoriented and trying to figure out what we're going to do now with all of our money, which is a great problem to have. So right now I work for a public school district in Kentucky. And so 13% of my income goes into my pension automatically, I cannot opt out.
Okay.
And my real question is, I really feel that we need to be, and we do invest about 3% of our income above and beyond that, but now that we have some extra flexibility in our budget, I'm trying to feel out how much more we should be investing into our Roth.
If you're in baby step 7, you've got tons of discretionary income.
Yep.
And if you don't have a plan for it, it's going to go bye-bye. And you definitely don't want to be sitting at, you know, in a money market account getting 0.015%. So even though you're already above the 15% that you do in baby step 4, now you're in baby step 7, and you really need to find a place for all that stuff. But I don't think you necessarily want to have it tied up so long-term that you can't get to it.
Okay.
So here's what I would do. Here's the major vehicles that I would do. Just like I would do even if the pension wasn't part of the play. I would still go with any kind of, you know, you don't have the 401k option, but I would do 401k matching. This is for our listeners also. That'd be first and foremost. After that, you max out your Roth contributions if you qualify for Roth. Okay. Then after that, you're going to go to low turnover mutual funds. And that doesn't have a cap on it. You can just keep going and keep going and throwing lots of money into those mutual funds. They're very diversified, so you're safe there. You could toy around a little bit with some variable annuities, but don't do it unless you know exactly what you're doing. You want to make sure that you have a great investment professional helping you on that. And since you're in baby step 7, and listeners, do you hear me? Just because he's in baby step 7, you can start doing some real estate investing. That might be might be fun for you. But this is a place where you get to live and give like nobody else, and you get to invest like nobody else. You've got options. And so just diversify that portfolio a little bit. There's nothing wrong with real estate, but don't buy real estate. Like right now is not a super good time. But if you can find a property at 70% of its market value, if you can get something pennies on the dollar like that, then it might just be a good purchase for you. But for me, I would go that route. Okay, so your Roth IRA, the mutual funds, and then kind of go from there. I am so excited about what's coming up in the show. Amanda, our amazing call screener, had just let me know that we actually have Donna on the line. She is holding from Grand Rapids, Michigan, and she is trying to figure out what debt repayment looks like after getting out of prison. So that will be a unique call for sure. Well, you heard me mention to Michael that Total Money Makeover is the book that's behind Financial Peace University. And so if you're listening right now and you've never heard of Financial Peace University, you know, there was a time in my life that I was so far into debt, just like Michael, that I couldn't imagine a way out. And then I remembered the principles that I was taught in Financial Peace University. That class has come to mean the world to me and to my family. Financial Peace University has helped me and more than 2.5 million families learn God's way of handling money. It's easy, it's practical, and it will change your life. Learn more about Financial Peace University by visiting stewardship.com and click on Chris Recommends. That's stewardship.com or call us at 866-357-3283.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. If you have a question for Chris, email him at chrisonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisonair@stewardship.com. Or call him at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Now we continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
This next call comes in from Grand Rapids, Michigan. This is Donna. Donna, how are you?
Good. How are you, Chris?
Oh, I'm better every day. How can I serve you?
Hi. Well, I have a situation. I got out of prison in December of 06. While I was in there, I had a house and a second mortgage that went into foreclosure, and about 12 credit cards went delinquent. I have a collection agency that has three of them. But I've been trying to take care of these issues, but I pulled up my three credit reports, and they're not on there. And I don't have any paperwork. Of course, you know, losing the home, I have no paperwork on who the bank was, these credit cards. So how do I go about finding them so I can pay?
So I'm glad you got your credit report. That's good. For me, I think if it's not on your credit report, they've probably closed the file. If they're not reaching out to you, which of course it'd be hard to find you at this point, but you know, if they have not reached out to you and it's not on your credit report, I wouldn't worry about it. I don't feel like you have to dig it up. But as soon as they, you know, come and say something, say, "Hey, whoa," then you need to make sure that you are cooperative. I don't necessarily think you've got to hunt them down. They've obviously closed the file.
Well, that's what I thought I would. Yeah, I would have thought I had to hunt them down. I was like, well, I have no paperwork left because when I got out, there was no home, no all the belongings. So I was at a loss, and I think, well, how can I clean up this mess?
Mm-hmm. You know, you got out in 2006. It's 2015. And so what's going on in your heart that would make you want to ask this question now after almost 10 years?
Well, actually, no, I had asked it before, but I was not. When you get out of prison, you struggle.
No, I'm sure.
Whatever. And job-wise, I was never in a position, you know, with a record. Employers don't want to hire you. So I've gone from part-time jobs to, you know, and then one other job I went and they closed. And so finally, I'm at a financial comfortable. So I need, you know, I thought, well, now's the time.
Right. Here's the deal, Donna. The bad news is you had to go to prison for a while. The good news is that these have been closed. These debts are closed. So if they do pop up later, then they pop up, and you have to deal with them then.
Okay. Now the collection agency that has three of them, I can call them and negotiate?
Yeah, I think you call them and just start the conversation. If you have the money, my general rule, Donna, is if you have the money, pay what you owe. If you don't have the money, you just communicate, I don't have the money. If you guys are willing to negotiate, then I'm obviously would love that. But if you don't, I understand too. But if you have the money, try to pay everything that you owe. But those other accounts are probably closed. They've moved on. They've got to make sure that they clear their books every once in a while so they can have clear records. And so that's probably what happened.
All right.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
So you, Donna, you've been out for 10 years and you said now you're starting to get some income behind you and you're starting to get in a rhythm?
Yes.
Good.
It took me a long time. I originally had gone to prison for drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been clean for a long time and stuff. And so it's taken me a long time and I felt as I owed that.
Mm-hmm.
I did that. I was responsible, and I wanted to do the right thing.
Yeah. So your life now, if you don't mind me asking, your life now and who you're hanging out with and who you're doing life with, has it dramatically changed post-prison versus pre-prison?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Positive Christians and, just groups. Yeah, absolutely.
Great.
Wonderful. Families pulled together, and my children are speaking to me, and both my children are in school, college. So
that's inspiring.
Wonderful life. Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing. That's inspiring to all of our listeners. And Donna, do you have any specific place where you search for your financial wisdom and wisdom and direction?
Actually, I listen to you guys all the time. You and Dave. I'm sorry.
Okay.
On my way home, I get Dave. On my way home from work, I can listen to Dave and stuff. And that's where I started my envelope system and stuff. So I had my emergency fund and stuff. So, and I also had went in default on banks, so I've been able to pay them off. I paid those, was thinking, okay, and I knew where those were. I remembered what those were,
mm-hmm.
but the other ones I did not know. So,
cool. Well, it sounds like you got a good game plan. Have you ever owned the Total Money Makeover?
No, I did not.
Okay, that's a book that is incredible. It's kind of like your playbook. It's your guide that you have right there at your house, and you can just say, hey, I wonder about, and it's like it's your playbook. Well, I want to give that to you. Is that okay?
Oh, that'd be great. Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to send it to you, and you've got an inspiring story, and it's awesome. I think, I wanted to make sure I asked the question about who you're hanging out with, because one verse just came to my mind, and it's in Matthew 18:20. It says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And so I really want you to have the right people around you. And of course, we know what the Bible says, that bad company corrupts good habits. You've got some good habits forming. And whatever the answer was today, it wouldn't matter if you were hanging around the wrong crowd. And so it's inspiring that you've made those big changes, and we're cheering you on.
Thank you so much.
All right, Donna, hold on the line, and we're gonna hook you up with that book, okay?
Great, thank you.
All right, bye-bye. This email is from Natalie. She says, we're in a transition in life financially, and we need some guidance as to what the next steps should be for us. We're both in our early 30s, and we have two boys. They're 8 and 5. We recently sold our first house and profited about $56,000. All but about $18,000 was used to pay off debt and purchase a second vehicle with cash. Where we are now, our monthly income is about $6,500. We are currently living in an apartment and pay about $1,300 a month. Our only debt is a car that we owe $20,000 on. Should we be using some or all of the money we have saved, $18,000, to pay off the car sooner? Or should we use the snowball method to pay it off in a year or so? Your wisdom would be very appreciated. It's important for us to remember that we don't want any more than half of our annual salary in cars. So if you make $100,000 a year in your entire household, you shouldn't have more than $50,000 in cars. If you make $40,000, you shouldn't have more than $20,000 in cars. And those of you in higher income brackets, it probably should be way below 50%. But that's kind of a good way to think of it. So if you're trying to decide whether you have too much car, that's a good thing to think about. In this situation, Natalie, I would sell the car. I would get something cheaper. Of course, when you sell it, sell privately. And then I would leave you about $4,000 to $12,000, depending on what kind of car you got. But you'd have anywhere from $4,000 to $12,000 in a money market account, and you'd be already on second half of your baby step three. That's what I would do. So that would expedite you through the steps, baby steps 1, 2, and 3 pretty fast. All right, folks. Well, that wraps us up for today. This was Chris Brown's True Stewardship. It's an honor to serve you. And of course, feel free to email in all your questions at chrisonair@stewardship.com. Be sure, again, just a little bit of a reminder to send us what God is doing through your margin. Give us that testimony of how God's working in your life. Want to encourage you to check out stewardship.com and check out the Chris Recommends section. Lots of things there for you. Be sure to be telling your friends and your family about our show. And those of you that are listening on the podcast, I'd like to encourage you to fill out a review. Let us know how we're doing, how we're serving you. It's an honor to serve you today, honor to serve you every day. Until next time, let's continue to manage God's blessings, God's way, and for His glory. God bless you.